Why did you decide to go after using an SEO strategy? Because from what I understand, SEO typically is a long-term play. You don't see immediate results. But if you're an early stage startup, we want to talk ideally to a lot of customers, quick iteration, quick wins. Normal, you know, advice says don't go into SEO early on. I mean, do it, but don't go it early on. So I'd love to hear your thought process behind using that and how are you doing it?
For us, it was very important that early on we start to build the foundation that the rest of our future sales and marketing efforts kind of sit on. Our strategy is kind of twofold. We think about...
Welcome to the Show Me the Data podcast by Leadsyn, where every week we get marketing and sales leaders from fast-growing B2B tech companies to share specific tactics they use to drive revenue for their business. The best part? They share the exact metrics and data points behind each of their tactics. I'm your host, Tukan Das, the co-founder and CEO of Leadsyn. See you there.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tukan, and my guest today is Jen Deering Davis. She's a co-founder and head of marketing at a company called Gradient Works. Welcome to the show, Jen.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here and talk about marketing today.
Awesome. And definitely, we're going to get into marketing and in quite details. But to begin with, Jen, if you could give me, and for the whole audience, a quick overview of what Gradient Works does, that'll be great.
Yeah, we are a very early stage startup, and we'll be talking about that more, but less than a year old. And our focus is on building software to help revenue organizations work more efficiently. And that comes out of my co-founder and my experience working in a bunch of different B2B revenue organizations, from marketing to RevOps and sales. And the first thing that we're working on is software for assignment and routing. So not just lead routing, but full customer lifecycle routing as customers kind of flow through your organization, automating that, making it smarter, matching, you know, the right opportunity to the right rep at the right time, and trying to reduce inefficiency across that. So that's where we're starting.
Yeah, that's very cool. And are you guys seeing your product as an add-on to a CRM like Salesforce or HubSpot, or would your customers will have to live on Gradient Works platform?
That's a great question. Right now we are actually a Salesforce managed package, so built right into Salesforce. And as we grow, we'll expand into other CRMs, but we kind of go right into the customer's existing CRM. So
that totally makes sense.
Yeah,
because that'll be the last thing that they want to use is log into another platform for figuring out the routing and the matching piece.
Oh my gosh. Everybody already uses so many software tools, right? You know, the revenue stack is just each sales rep logs into 10 different tools every day. So yeah, we don't want to add to that at all. We try to reduce complexity, not add the complexity for sure.
And so in terms of your initial target market, you are focusing on Salesforce users first, like that's the group.
Yeah, that's the biggest share of CRM. And right now we're really focused on B2B subscription businesses, not exclusively, but that's really our ICP. And, you know, something like 80% of them use Salesforce as their CRM. So a good place for us to start. And we've used Salesforce our entire career. So that's the CRM we're most familiar with.
And you understand the pain points there, like the gaps there, right?
Exactly. Very, very well.
Got it. And in terms of the buyers, who are you selling to within these B2B SaaS organizations?
Yeah, right now, especially with this routing and assignment product, we're really selling into the ops organization. That could be revenue operations or sales operations. Ultimately, our sort of target buyer is the CRO or the head of sales. It kind of depends how an organization is structured. But the people that actually buy and implement the product right now are the ops folks, the Salesforce admins on that side of the sales organization.
Makes sense. So now let's get started into the main topic of today's discussion. So you mentioned your company is less than a year old, 9 months or something. So it's very, very new and young. And but one of the channels that you are, you know, tapping into to grow the business is SEO. And you use the interesting term, I've never heard this term, scalable SEO. Those two words doesn't really jive well together. I've never heard it. But so I'd love to understand a little bit more about high level. Let's start at high level. Like, what does your SEO strategy look like? Why did you decide to go after using an SEO strategy? Because from what I understand, SEO typically is a long-term play. You don't see immediate results. But if you're an early stage startup, where we want to talk ideally to a lot of customers, quick iteration, quick wins. Normal, you know, advice says, don't go into SEO early on. I mean, do it, but don't go it early on. So I'd love to hear your thought process behind using that and how are you doing it?
Yeah, because it's a great point. It is absolutely a long-term strategy. And so for us, it was very important that early on, we start to build the foundation that the rest of our future sales and marketing efforts kind of sit on. And so that's why we started SEO immediately. And the strategy at a really high level, when we think about our marketing efforts early on, is we're resource constrained, right? We're still so early. And we're, so we don't have a lot of money or people to spend on this. And so we have to be very careful about where we spend our time.
Sure.
And, but I come from a pretty heavy content marketing background. Yep. And so for me, content is just kind of natural, and SEO and content marketing are, you know, hand in hand. And so our strategy is kind of twofold. We think about SEO driven content, and I'll talk more about what I mean by that, as sort of one part of our content strategy. And that's for discovery, so that we can start to build those foundations so that people can find things that then bring them back to us. The other half of our strategy is thought leadership and things that we're pushing out there in other ways, which is not what we're going to talk about today. But we think about writing content that fits either of those kind of pieces. And that's not to say there isn't some overlap, like a thought leadership piece that we, you know, or we come on a podcast or something to talk about one of our thought leadership things. It doesn't mean that can't drive SEO back to our website, but usually the things that we work on have one of the two as our main goal. And so on the SEO side of things, we know it takes a long time to build up authority to search engines so that people can find us, which is why we started it right away. Everything we're doing right now is to reduce the risk in the future. So as we, you know, we barely even have a product we're selling. We've been in a private beta for a little bit, and we're just starting to come out of that into actually selling a product. Soon. We want to be ready when that happens to just kind of turn on the switch and have people be coming in to us for demand generation. And so everything we're doing over the past 9 months and for the next many months is building up our authority and credibility with the search engines and trying to basically think about what is setting us up for success later. I was talking to a friend recently who runs an SEO firm, and they have software and they do consulting for big brands that are thinking about SEO strategy, you know, huge brands. And he talks about how you have to punch in your weight class. You have to compete in your weight class. And so we can't set out right now at a website that, you know, barely exists and expect to be a HubSpot, you know, driving all that inbound traffic. But you have to think about, where are you? What do you need to do right now? And maybe one weight class above you, so that eventually you can kind of climb up to get to be a HubSpot. And that work has to start early. So that's why we think about it now, and why it's important to start it from day one.
Yeah, makes sense. Quick question. You said you know, you guys are a small team. How big is your team?
It's four. Well, our whole company is four people right now.
Okay.
My co-founder, who is CEO and does a lot of our customer conversations and sales right now, as well as fundraising and CEO kind of things.
Yeah.
Me on the marketing side, and then we have two engineers, software engineers, who are building the product. So we're pre-funding and everything at the moment. So
this is exciting stage of the company. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the resources piece. As a co-founder and doing marketing, I'm guessing you're doing other stuff too, other customer facing things, product and everything. Walk me through your process of creating content and how do you come up with the right kind of content for the driving awareness, the search engine? And once you've come up with it, how many pieces of content do you write? What's the process? How long does it take? Walk us through that.
Yeah. And this is where we come to that scalable SEO piece that you mentioned, because it's got to be otherwise.
Scalable. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when you're a small startup or resource constrained in any way, you have to do a lot of things manually and then figure out how to scale them. Right.
Yep.
So we think about content creation, the way we identify what we're going to write about, kind of in two ways. So the first is the SEO driven content. And so we find we have a list of SEO keywords that we've developed based on kind of two criteria. So the first one is use a tool like Moz or Ahrefs to do competitive analysis. So we look at our direct competitors for the product as it is now, and then kind of aspirational competitors for where we think we're going to be building the software, you know, in the next five or 10 years, and do an analysis of all the keywords that bring traffic into their sites. Because what we want to do is steal some of that. Well, earn it, not steal it. But, and we look right now, since we're competing in our weight class, which is a low weight class, looking for the keywords that are higher volume, but lower competitiveness or lower difficulty. And that also makes sense and relate, you know, we're not going to try to compete on their brand names or anything at this time. But from that, I mean, I did, I think, a list of probably seven competitors. I got a list of about 55 keywords where I feel like we can compete on them, like lower difficulty, higher volume, and higher volume in this case can only be 50 or 100 searches a month. But if we can take those 50 or 100 searches multiplied by 50 keywords, 50.
That's a lot.
Yeah. So we came up with that list of terms. And the other place that we find keywords for the SEO content is around really long tail, very specific targeted keywords that we know our ICP is going to be searching for. And so in this case right now, that's a lot of very technical Salesforce workflow kind of things where there really isn't a lot of content at all. So my co-founder, who's extremely technical on the Salesforce side, can write this very detailed post about using Salesforce Flow for a particular assignment workflow. And maybe only 10 people will search for that in a month, but every one of them will come to our site because we can own that keyword in, 2 weeks, you know? So we have those competitive, slightly higher volume keywords, and then we have the very long tail specific in between them that gives us a ton of options for things to write about. And then we pick them by a lot of it is just, okay, what do I feel like I can write about right now? What do I know enough about? Or we group them and then we do one of these scalable projects, which on the resources page on our website, we have a few of them. And what we think about is we get a set of keywords that are related to one topic area. And we have done this recently with a RevOps glossary. So it's a list of definitions and terms for every keyword you can think of related to revenue operations and helping people understand what does, you know, CAC mean? What's lifetime value? And we use HubSpot as our CMS, and HubSpot has this great database feature where you can basically, you're supposed to use it for things like resource pages and stuff like that. But basically you can take your content and you write it in a spreadsheet, essentially one row per content chunk. In this case, a term like revenue operations or, you know, B2B marketing or whatever. We put them all in here with keywords and definitions and all of this. And it takes a few hours to write out, let's say 30 of these terms. Cause it really is, we're talking two paragraphs per term. So it doesn't take long. And these are things that I'm very familiar with. And then you upload that into HubSpot, and it creates one of these little databases from that spreadsheet. You can kind of go in then and polish up the content a little, add additional resources. We've connected a widget that will find related blog posts from our website and embed them in the page as well. And so what it does is it creates one page for each of the rows in the spreadsheet. So in the course of a day, we created 30 pages for our website, each one keyword based and targeted, and then they all roll up under one resource, which in this case is a interactive RevOps glossary. And this is all part of HubSpot's functionality. We tweaked it a little bit on our end to make it kind of look and work like we want, but it took less than a day. And now we have 30 pages on our website, each one of them SEO optimized and like searchable.
So, just help me understand this, Jen. This is blowing my mind right now. So you have these, for this specific content, you write up, you know, 30 specific SaaS specific revenue specific terms. You have a paragraph about describing this. You have it in an Excel, upload to HubSpot database? It's like, is it a specific functionality within HubSpot?
Yeah, it's in the CMS, the website part of HubSpot, and it's just HubSpot DB, I think is all it's called.
Okay.
I'm looking at it right now, but yeah.
Okay, cool. So you upload them into HubSpot DB, and what does it do? It creates separate pages for it, for that?
Yes, that's exactly what it does. All under one. So what we did is we created this RevOps glossary table, essentially,
sure.
and then imported this spreadsheet that had all the data in it. And it does, it takes that and it makes it into one spot on our site, which we link to on our resources page that has then 30 individual pages.
Sub pages from there. And these pages then are very short. Are they like just the two pages of description or like two paragraphs of description, each of these pages? Or
some of them are, and then some of them we go in and we flesh out and we decide what we flesh out either based on what we know a ton about, where we just have a bunch of content we can add, or the ones that end up being clicked on the most. And so we put them out there, and you can see this on our website at gradient.works in our resources section. Mm-hmm. The RevOps glossary is an example of what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And we threw it up there. It's got these 30 terms, and you can kind of scroll down through them. You see there's like a little card for each one, and then you can click on it and be taken into the term itself. And this is where the page is. Sometimes it's a paragraph, sometimes it's three or four paragraphs.
Okay.
Sometimes we have related resources linked to in there, like a video interview we made or related blog posts. And then we flesh out the ones that people start to click on. So a lot of people have been clicking on the account-based marketing definition as an example. So we went in and just made sure that one was a little bit more robust because it seems like that's one that needs to be really useful to people. So we kind of let the data drive how much more we add
now
to that
it.
These exist.
Mm-hmm. And ABM, I would assume that is probably one of the most, it's a popular term, and I'm guessing there's a lot, everyone in remotely in B2B marketing has a piece of content about something to do with ABM. So I'm curious, how are people coming to it and clicking on that term?
That one, I think people find the RevOps glossary because the RevOps glossary itself, the top level page has some good SEO juice. And then ABM is one of the first definitions. So people are like, oh yeah, that's the one I want.
Yeah.
And so they click on it first before they explore others. Not because we are ranking high for account-based marketing yet,
Understood.
But the more people see it and use it and link to it on their sites, then the better it gets for us too. So
couple quick follow-up question to that. Mm-hmm. So this one, I understand the glossary is a great fit for this kind of a setup. But I noticed on your blog, you guys do have a lot of long form content.
Mm-hmm.
And these topics, I'm guessing, are also coming from your research of competitors and just high volume, low difficulty topics.
Mm-hmm. Some of them are, continue. Sorry, I didn't mean
No. So my question was, is that how you're getting it? And then the follow-up question is, what's the process? How long does it take to create a long form content like that? And are you doing it in-house? Are you outsourcing it? What's the process there?
So some of that content does come from the keyword research, but some of that is more the thought leadership thing that I mentioned at the beginning, where there are stakes in the ground we know we want to have. As a company, these are things we believe about the future of revenue organizations. These are opinions or trends or things my co-founder or I know that we want to write about. And so sometimes they just come from our brain and we're like, we got to get this out. We're going to write this post. But sometimes they're informed by SEO research that we've done. So I'd say it's kind of half and half on the blog. And so we decide what we're going to put on the blog. Basically, what can we write an entire blog post about versus a little blurb on the website, you know, on the resources page. And then we write all of those in-house. Right now, with the exception, we have a couple guest authors who do some work for us.
Yeah.
They're people we know. I would love to expand that out. I would like to get more content on the blog. So we're going to kind of work on that over the next 6 months. But right now, it's all in-house with these very small set of guest authors.
Okay.
I know a lot of people outsource their content, but since my background is in content marketing and it's easy for me to write a blog post, it just takes me, you know, 1 to 3 hours, I think, for something long form.
Wow.
But that's me. That's not everybody's going to have those resources. And so it very much depends, I think, on your skill set with your team. But outsourcing content is not hard to do and it's not very expensive. It's a good idea if you don't have that already.
But the quality of content is never the same, I have noticed. If you're outsourcing to a freelance contractor who does write for everyone, like a lot of other people, that's one thing I've found.
It's really not going to be. And it depends on what your goals are, right? Are you trying to attract traffic via the blog? Or like with us, we use it really for pushing out a lot of our thought leadership. The blog is, we have a newsletter we email out every 2 weeks with blog content. And it very much is our voice as a company. It's part of our brand. It's part of what we're trying to build, aside from any of the SEO stuff. Mm-hmm. But not everybody uses their blog like that. And so that's okay, right? If that's not your goal, then outsource it.
Sure.
And another reason why we like guest authors is if there are people that you know who are experts in the area, and we compensate some, or we'll trade, you know, it depends kind of on the relationship, but you know an expert, you know, you've got them in your network, they want to write a post, that's great. And that's good for them, because you're generating the backlinks back to their site and everything. 100%. So finding those relationships is really good. It's just hard to do that, right? That is not something that you can do at scale.
I know. So this is a question that you, the key word that you mentioned was backlink. So one thing that we hear a lot about is creating good content is amazing, long form and informative and all that, but distribution and is super key, right? So that other people read up and through different channels, maybe link back. What are you guys doing with regards to the distribution of any content?
Yeah. And that's an area we really need to work more on, is generating those backlinks. So, because you got to have them. Like, you can write the content, but you also need the backlinks. And those two things are kind of forming the basis of your SEO strategy, right? So I think a lot, some of it happens organically. You write good content that is keyword targeted. People will find it and want to share it. We got really lucky that our RevOps glossary, we shared it on LinkedIn. Our network is full of people who are also in the, you know, in the industries that we're looking for on LinkedIn, and they shared it. And the RevOps community at HubSpot saw it and wanted to feature it on their website. So HubSpot linked to it, which is huge because HubSpot is incredibly high authority,
you know? Rank. Yeah.
Exactly. So that was really good for us. And but that was kind of a fluke, right? You can't guarantee that that's going to happen, but you hope that if you put out good content and you distribute it, LinkedIn is really good for our audience, right? Because we speak to B2B sales and marketers. But not everybody can use LinkedIn like that, and it doesn't always work. So we think about combining that with an intentional PR and earned media strategy, where we reach out to relevant influencers, media sites, podcasts, you know, to try to get to write contributed content or be speakers on things. That's something I want to do more of. Again, we're resource constrained, so we can't do a lot of those, but you figure you do one of those a month.
Yeah.
And that's great, right? So look, this is my July one already. I can just check it off. But so I need to do a lot of pitches. I email out, you know, hey, I've got this idea for a post. Can I write it? We did a good one on Sales Hacker a few months ago. That has been really good in terms of sending traffic back and being a nice backlink.
Nice.
But then go ahead. Yeah.
No. Sorry to interrupt. So you are just, after you write the content, and especially if the content is very data-driven and very has a unique edge that there isn't a lot of content, you do reach out yourself for other authoritative communities or websites to include that report or feature
it? Sort of twofold. Yeah, either I would reach out and say, hey, we wrote this thing we think would be really helpful to your audience. Would you link to it? That doesn't work as well as reaching out to someone with an idea and saying, I would love to write something like this for your audience. Would you like to include it on your site? And then they will link back to you part of that. It's a lot more work to do that. But that's what I think about a little bit more. It's our earned media strategy, right? It's like pitching contributed content on other sites to get them to link back to us. And so I think you have to do both. We don't do as much of the emailing someone to say, hey, could you link to this on your site, as we should. I think you have to have both of those.
Makes sense.
Which is, again, you know, you have to figure out where you spend your time. And I'm just less comfortable reaching out to existing blogs and sites like that and saying, hey, link to this. But I got to get over that and do it, because you have to do those things.
Cool. So roughly then, Jen, how much time are you spending a week on doing content research, writing content, and doing these pitches or distribution roughly in a week?
I'd say probably about a third of my time right now is on this.
But
I am our sole marketer.
I know that.
And I really only do marketing. There are other company things I do, but right now, this is one of the most important things we can be doing. So The content channels are really useful for us.
Okay.
So I'd say probably 15-ish hours a week on it. Maybe
more.
Oh,
wow. That is a big, big, big chunk of your time. So now let's talk about some metrics. Yeah. Given the fact that you're spending one third of your time on content, what kind of metrics are you guys seeing, starting from website traffic to demo requests? I guess you guys are in private beta, so demos or email mm-hmm. subscribers. What do they look like?
Yeah, so we those would be three of the things we would look at, actually. So that's good that you said those. So website traffic first. You know, we first published a very early version of our website the end of last August. So basically September 1st last year.
Sure.
And it was super simple and not a lot was happening. Then we rolled out a newer, more professional, more like SaaS startup looking website in May, just 2 months ago. And so we've been working on everything since then, but you can see that traffic was zero last August, right? Like literally nothing because it didn't exist.
Yeah.
And so our goal is, you know, to increase traffic every month. By how much, we're not sure yet because it's so early, so we don't really have benchmarks. But the biggest thing we've been looking at lately is not just top level traffic, but what percentage of that traffic is coming from search. And our goal is by the end of the year, we want to have 50% of our inbound traffic coming from organic search.
Got it.
And last September, it was less than 5%. And it was just people Googling our name, Gradient Works, because it was probably our families trying to figure out what the hell we were doing, right? Like no real organic search.
Sure.
And so in June, I looked at the numbers this morning before we talked, depending on if you're looking at HubSpot analytics or Google's analytics,
sure.
40 to 50% of our traffic was from organic search in
June.
Nice. So, and it was huge increase in the number of visits too. So you can start to see how these things compound each other.
Mm-hmm.
The earlier you start your SEO work, you know, the better it is 6 months from now. And because
every
month,
don't do any paid media?
No, we don't. I don't think it would help us at this point because we don't have the messaging tested. We don't have the budget. Like it's all organic. It's all 100% organic. And then you start to see not just what is the traffic or how much traffic do we have, what percentage of it is from search, but then using Google Search Console, what terms are bringing people to our site? And are they the kinds of things we want people to be searching for? And we're starting to see a lot more terms that are related to what we think our customers would be searching for if they're looking for our product and not just Gradient Works. Or every now and then we write a blog post that happens to hit on some keywords that are very well searched, but they're just not super relevant.
Hmm.
I wrote a blog post last fall about virtual sales kickoffs, just because it was something we'd been thinking about. And a lot of our customers think about sales kickoffs and it drives a lot of traffic to the site, but not necessarily people who are in the mindset of buying like routing and automation software,
True.
You know? So, but those are things we look at. And then, overall growth in site traffic, percentage from search traffic, the keywords, and then, so actually like downstream things or people doing relevant actions.
Mm-hmm.
We opened up our demo request page in May when we rolled out the new site, like mid-May. And we've had some demo requests and
nice.
We know that two of them have been from organic search.
Okay.
And we've had five. We're dealing with very small numbers right now at this stage. But two of those were from search, so two out of five, so 40%.
40%, yeah.
And both of them are pretty far down the pipeline in real conversations, and one of them is a 100K ARR deal. So,
wow. Okay.
Like if that closes, I feel like that's worth it, right?
Absolutely.
And right now, those are small numbers, like I said, but we're just kind of rolling things out and seeing what channels are leading, what are our funnels on our site, so that then, after we kind of see people moving through them, how do we optimize those funnels?
Got it.
It's been good. And then, you know, we get a few newsletter signups every week. Like I said earlier, we have this bi-weekly newsletter that's mostly blog content and stuff.
Yeah.
A few of those a week come from search traffic. People found something, they're reading a blog post, you know, they sign up for the newsletter. So in general, you know, a lot of what we're still setting is baselines, but I feel good that things are happening. There is activity and, in another year, 6 or 12 months, I would expect then to have real goals and objectives based around this and try to improve those pipelines. But at least we're seeing that they exist, you know, so that's a good start.
And do you think any of the content that you have already written, let's say you were in a year down the road, you have a like a paid media strategy. Could there be pieces of content that you can put paid media behind so that those pieces of content show up?
Yes, I would think so. And you know, part of what we expect to learn over the next 6 months as traffic continues to increase is what is driving people to our site? What are they seeing in Google? What are they clicking on? And then which one of those lead to demo requests? And I think that would be the stuff that we would try to boost with paid.
Makes sense.
We're thinking a lot about paid as ways to test positioning and messaging too.
Yeah.
The people respond to this or this. And for us, it's kind of A-B testing, but I do think that we could boost the stuff that actually seems to be generating demo requests and pipeline like we want with paid media later for sure.
The revenue ops glossary that you created, that's a classic example of, you know, scalable SEO, creating a lot of content with not a ton of effort. Mm-hmm. Has there been other pieces of content hubs that you have created like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just rolled one out last week that's about round robin assignment and distribution. So a lot of sales teams use a round robin way of distributing leads and opportunities. And so we did one of those that is still kind of in progress, and it's only got maybe 12 or 15 individual pages, but they're all very round robin focused, which if people are thinking about deploying a round robin distribution, they absolutely could be using GradientWorks. And so we know that is extremely relevant. It's one of those that's a little lower volume, but completely targeted to who we want. So that's one we've done. And then we're now working on kind of a B2B sales guide for our next one. But that one is taking me a little bit more time to kind of figure out our angle on that one.
Yeah.
But it's one of those where we identified a set of keywords that cluster around a concept. And so then how do you make that concept useful for website visitors
is
where we are with that one. So my co-founder likes to call this deploying content at scale, which I mean, it's, I laugh, I roll my eyes a little, but that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
So it's working.
This is great. Like this is a great concept to think of when creating content and deploying it. Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Is your co-founder technical? Is he like from a computer science background?
Yeah, he has a computer science background and then most recently has been in revenue operations. So yeah, very
Got
much
it.
On the technical side of things, which is why he's thinking about
deploying content at scale. Yeah, because every engineer would always think of doing things at scale. So
Exactly.
That's great. Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you for sharing your insights. Thank you for some of these cool, hacks and tips and strategies that you shared and sharing the data. So once again, thank you very much and all the best with GradientWorks.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to be here. So thanks for having me.
Awesome.